Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I'm Sir Jimmy of House of Nuts. Welcome back to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today we are into Arya 12 of A Storm of Swords. Is Arya 12 years old in A Storm of Swords?
Maybe.
Right? Probably.
Maybe.
Maybe 11?
Yeah, maybe 11.
It's kind of weird to think about that.
Her birthday I don't really know off the top of my head. John's is like, the one that pops into it. Because there's so much more going on with it. But yeah, Arya's, I don't specifically know.
How old?
But should I go ahead and say it?
She's 12. I was right.
Perfect. Should I go ahead and say it?
Go ahead.
Was it a short chapter? I mean, no.
It wasn't necessarily a short chapter, but it was definitely a more of a fallout chapter, I would say.
Yeah, because now we're dealing with her fallout of the Red Wedding, because, you know, bouncing around a little bit again. This is just like that John chapter where it's like it'd been a while since we'd been with John, and now here we are. It's the same thing. This is one of the you benefit a little bit more from of a POV read. But I always feel like these Arya chapters is where you get like what's going on in the realm, the common folk. Arya is like a lens more so than anybody, I feel like, in her chapters to the common folk and what's going on.
Listen, if I ran into somebody on the streets and they said Arya is my favorite like POV to read from, I wouldn't argue with it. And I love me some Tyrion. I even like a lot of people don't like Bran chapters. I love Bran chapters because that's Bran where me and you have fun.
They're magical, literally.
They really are. And I think that Arya is like a good balance between like you're saying realm politics, but she's also experiencing some crazy stuff. I mean, Beric Dondarrion, Ghost of High Heart, obviously, Jack and Hagar, and then going over into Essos or Braavos. Like, it's a. She might be the most balanced of all the characters when it comes to being, like, you know, kind of in the human elements of the story, but also into the magical. And Arya is also Gurm's wife's favorite character, which tells us she will not die in the series. I'm 99% sure of that. But also the fact that, you know, he takes extra care of those chapters, I think. I think he puts a little extra on them. And this one, it was a fallout chapter, but it is ominous and it is sad. I mean, when you really think about Arya leaving after her father was decapitated and now obviously her mother is dead. It's just
a 12-year-old girl. She's so close. That's honestly something that, man, the show really missed. Because you actually pulled it off. Like, because you think about it, where that moment is, she's there and she has to see her father die. She's there, you know, she doesn't see her mother die, but she, you know, was just trying to get there and almost pulled it off. Mm-hmm. And then they just didn't play it off that way. But Bran is about to die, right? I mean, in season 8, Bran is about to die and Arya is right there. But this time she does make it.
Dude,
but they didn't play that.
That could have been a huge piece of her character arc.
Right. And then she sees a pale horse and like, as like, I'm going to sail west of Westeros. And they totally blew that. It could have been like that. You could have. Yeah, there just wasn't.
Well, you can't have her defeat the Night King and then be like, I don't know what to do about this Mad Queen situation. Like, I have a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
I have a really good idea. But yeah. I'm so glad you brought this up, Matt. I was randomly scrolling through YouTube shorts. Most of it's just golf in my feed, but I came across the Game of Thrones one. And it was a live like viewing party at some bar. They had a big screen, and it was the moment where Arya stabs the Night King. And whenever Night King...
I think that's a meme, dude. And then everyone just goes nuts?
No. Oh, I know what you're... No, you're talking about the Buffalo Wild Wings one. No. Right, I'm talking about a legit one. Not.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah. I was like,
you don't think I'm that stupid. What am I, a boomer? Shout out to all the boomers out there. But, so they're showing the scene. And she gets grabbed. And, dude, the whole bar is like, no! And then she drops a dagger, does the move. And that place erupted. There was a grown man who was pretty jacked sitting at the bar, starts almost getting emotional. Like you could tell he's like, this is awesome. And I was like, you know what? For all of its faults, that moment was pretty sick. Like whether or not it should have been John, it should have been, or they could have done more, whatever. I mean, when's the last time you've seen a show with a watch party?
Oh yeah.
At a bar, people screaming their heads off like that. I mean, I don't know of any.
I don't know, man. The only show I feel like that has that potential, but it's just not going to happen, is like Stranger Things, you know?
Yeah.
Season, like the series finale of Stranger Things is coming as we're talking right now. And I feel like it's going to be a pretty big, deal, but it's not going to, people are going to be watching it at a bar. It's not the.
Wait, is it out right now?
No, it's coming out. I think it's like Christmas. Is when it's,
should I know, but they're splitting it up. Should I watch Stranger Things? I tried season one. I hated it. Should I keep going?
Yes, dude. It's so good. I feel like it's so good, man. Do you know what I'm watching? You know what I'm watching right now? And you know, because we kind of skipped our, hey, how you doing, by the way, and just totally random. Are you watching Chad Powers?
What?
Chad Powers, the. What is it? It's, oh, you know, God. Glenn Powell is playing. So do you remember when Eli Manning did the, like, when he, like, went into Penn State and he like, when is this character Chad Powers and like audition, like try
yeah,
it out.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Eli and Peyton have this like production company and they turned it into like a little, I don't know if they're going to be a season two or not, but it's only like season one's only six episodes and it's coming out weekly. Dude, I'm like blitzing through it. It's freaking hilarious. It's so good.
Okay. I saw the Tim Robbins has a new show called like The Chair Salesman or something like that. I kind of want to check that out. I have watched a couple movies, Matt, and I don't have anywhere else to talk about them. So I'm going to talk about right real quick. Rapid review. I watched Black Phone because the second one came out. I thought it was okay. Kind of stupid by the end of it, but like, I like Ethan Hawke. I think that's the guy that's in it. It was pretty good. It was fine. And then I watched Black Swan finally by Dan Aronofsky. I always mess up his name. Apologies. But he has filmed two of my favorite movies of all time, which is The Wrestler and Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, yeah.
And Black Swan might have been as good as both, if not better. I could not believe how good that movie was.
I might have to watch that.
10 out of 10. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen. I have been wanting to watch it since it came out in, like, I don't know, 2007 or something.
Requiem for a Dream for me is like, it's okay. Like, you know, but The Wrestler I liked. I thought it was really good.
Oh, The Wrestler's phenomenal. It's very much in the same vein as The Wrestler of being like a very specific view into a niche thing, right? Like a niche expertise, but it is far more fantastical and horror based. I will say, do not watch around small children. It's pretty graphic. Lot of content in there that is uncomfortable to watch around parents or children, I would imagine, but I thought that it was just fantastic. And then, man, I watched a movie and I got to know if you're a fan of the original. I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I'll be honest with you,
Matt.
Horror movies, not my thing.
All right. But that was a classic. Jennifer Love Hewitt is in it.
I don't do scary
Brandy's
movies.
In it.
I don't do scary movies. Like, period.
Stranger Things horror?
Not really. It's more like,
come on.
It's strange. It's not really like,
I'm side eyeing you hard right now. I think
no, like Scream,
yeah,
Texas dude. Chainsaw That's like our Massacre, generation's like Freddy,
bread and butter, bro.
Chucky,
oh, give me some Chucky.
Candyman.
Well, fine, fine. I watched the remake of I Know What You Did Last Summer on Netflix, and while it was
Human
like
Centipede, out.
Oh, it's a good one. I thought the remake of I Know What You Did Last Summer was actually a lot of fun. It pays homage to the original, which I thought was really good in like a good way. And it was over the top just enough to feel good. So I liked it. I don't think it's a good movie, but I liked it. So that those are my three reviews that I have for everyone that no one cares.
The only thing I'm really watching, I watched Peacemaker and I watched Chad Powers. And
how was Peacemaker?
Oh, season two is great.
Okay. I'm not going to watch it.
James Gunn, he just knows what he's doing.
John Cena, pretty good in it. Do we see John Cena in a Game of Thrones adaptation at some point?
I don't know, but dude, John Cena is probably the best wrestler turned actor.
Batista's pretty good.
Yeah, I'd put him above Batista. Although I think Batista is also.
I think Batista's really good. I also am impartial because of me and Batista were boys. Not to brag or anything, but. We got along very well.
Yeah. But man, oh, such a good season. But yeah, that's other than that, just watching football. That's it.
I don't know, man. I got a little tingle watching that Arya scene and watching people react and just remembering it all. And I know a lot of it's nostalgic at this point, but
we'll get started here. But I had a most of my TikTok feed, whenever like shows that come up is like Sopranos, but every once in a while I do get a Game of Thrones. Man. God, this clip of Davos and Stannis, like when they're on the boat and they're talking, you know, like, and they're just like, just him talking about like Storm's End and how like, you know, hey, you were the only one that broke through and just expanded on some of that stuff.
So
like,
good, man.
Stannis in the show. So
amazing. I saw
so like it's just like all that like anytime you hit like seasons like 2 through 4, my God, it's just phenomenal.
Yeah, dude, I watched a little clip from Battle of the Bastards and Stannis there and like him talk. I was like, man, this guy really captured Stannis the character, like definitely one of the more underrated castings. No one really talks about it, but I think that he was a perfect casting for Stannis Baratheon. I also saw a short that was Sansa and the Hound during Battle Backwater when he's leaving and they had the little bird conversation and he's like, the Lannisters are killers. The star, your father, killer, your brother, a killer. You're going to have a son and he'll be a killer.
Oh so yeah.
You better figure out what they look like. And I was like, oh, like, I mean, obviously I've seen it before. I've read the books, but even then I was like, yeah, let's go.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. So George has the best dialogue.
Has he? I don't think he said anything recently, has he? Let's just
quickly. He was at New York Comic Con. I knew a couple friends that were there and got to see him briefly, and they said that he was in really good spirits, which is really cool because I thought he looked miserable at WorldCon.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah, well, yeah, probably, right? But I heard that at New York Comic Con, he was like super pumped.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, let's dive into today's chapter, which is Arya 12. Arya dreams that she is running with a pack of wolves every night, but by day, she is still Sandor's captive. The Hound hit her with the flat of his axe to keep her from entering the Twins. Sandor now intends to take her to the Eyrie and ransom her to Lady Lysa. That night, Arya dreams the wolf dream again, and she watches as the other wolves feast on corpses by the river. She follows a scent that leads her to her mother's body and pulls it from a river. Looking at the corpse, Arya's wolf self thinks, rise and eat and run with us. Then the pack notices men approaching and flees. Arya wakes up. At some point, they encounter a survivor from the Red Wedding, a bowman in service to Sir Mark Piper. The man is injured. They give him water. Then Sandor gives him the gift of mercy. Later, she and Sandor take on work in a village in the foothill of the mountains of the moon and learn that the Vale Mountain clans have grown bolder and now carry steel. Realizing that they will never reach the Eyrie, Clegane decides to head back to Riverrun and attempt to ransom Arya to the Blackfish. Arya tells the Hound that he has lost his belly for fighting since he ran from the battle of the Blackwater, but he just laughs at her. Mm-hmm. You know what would be interesting. Just and I was thinking about this because they do very briefly mention the mountains, you know, the moon clans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What if, because you know, Sansa's such a wild card. What if like they this is just total like funny, random, not gonna happen. What if like, you know, John gets this army of wildlings. What if Sansa gets this army of like moon? Because they are like, oh, well, we know Tyrion Lannister and you're Tyrion's wife, you know, like
dude, that would be awesome. Like, actually,
like, it could be like the shortest little like two sentence thing, but it would just be like so cool.
That know? Would be cool. And I like the moon's clans, like a little bit of lore we get. And what was the moon guy name?
Shaggoth.
Shaggoth or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to see more of them. I like that idea. That's cool.
They could, you know. I mean, that could be like, hey, I have Army of the Moon Clans. Moon Clans, Moon Boy.
Moon Boy connected? Coincidence? I think not.
It's all connected.
Dude, that's it. The Moon Clans are going to move into the Red Keep once Cersei gets impregnated by Moon Boy.
Could be. All connected.
It's all connected, bro.
All connected. So this chapter is very significant for Arya because it's the basically, it's, you know, it's Wolf Dream finds her mother's body, pulls it out of the river. Big. And she's also running with a pack, which is interesting because nobody else really has that, right? Like John is alone. And when he's in Ghost, we never really see him interact with other wolves, pretty much nobody else, because we don't get their point of views. Mm-hmm. Do we get that? But it is interesting that Arya is the one who's actually like leading the pack, although she's also in this journey of being no one and being separate. And is there anything with that she's going to be this like, because it's like, well, John is the one who is actually a leader.
Right.
And, but here Arya's actually kind of a leader. And so it's just interesting. I don't know that it's ever, there's any symbolism to it other than the fact that it just is what it is. And we know that in season 8 there was actually like some sort of CGI scene that they were going to use or something where we were going to see those wolves like Nymerian stuff actually fight in the Battle of Winterfell, and we never, it just didn't get added because the episode was already like an hour and a half long.
Don't you just hate that though?
I mean, yeah, it's just, I mean, it's
an extended cut.
Yeah, like Lord of the Rings style.
That's what I'm saying. I'd watch a 10-hour episode of that.
I would too. Battle of Winterfell is sweet.
I think that there's a chance that maybe some of the metaphor or imagery there is to think that Arya will eventually lead the pack back together. Like maybe somehow she's the one that connects Jon and Sansa back together and Bran and possibly Rickon. Like she could be the catalyst for that event. But I've always thought that it would either be Bran or Jon that kind of brings Sansa and Arya back together. I mean, not completely unlike the show, I guess, in some ways, but I don't know. It just seems like the biggest divide is probably between Arya and Sansa, right?
Yeah, you know, now I'm thinking this actually got me. You talking about that actually got me thinking about something. And this makes way more sense given the route we're in, actually, than something I've never really thought about. The stuff with Baelish in season 7, and that's when it was like, that's to me is like when the show like didn't know what to do.
Right.
If that actually takes place in the Vale, it makes way more sense.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
If Arya comes back and hears that Sansa is the Lady of the Vale and goes there instead, which is actually where she's heading, you know, and then I think we only have Arya chapter left. Right. And then I do want to get your thoughts on the difference where, you know, in the show he fights Brienne, whereas in the book, it's just that at the inn. But if Arya actually just shows up the Vale and then they do that there where they kicked her out the moon door and everything, and he's there with the other, like that is way more significant, has way more impact, and makes way more sense, especially given the fact that we know that Sansa is unlikely to, you know, she's not in the same position she was in the show where she's up north married to the Boltons.
Yeah, and I think it would make more sense and also be more impactful because Baelish actually has some sort of power in the Vale, or at least he's trying to obtain enough power in the Vale. So it would be him falling from grace.
That actually would solve a lot of issues that I've always been like, man, Sansa is like the one it just, you know, makes, you know, no,
you can, I mean, go a lot of different ways with her.
You, that could even be like the last chapter of mm-hmm. Winds of Winter, or the epilogue, or like even just like towards the very end of the book, and then Sansa's totally free to go do whatever, whether it's go with young Griff or, you know, right. Baelish may even suggest marrying her to a Targaryen, and if Arya is there, that could be something to be like, absolutely not, the Targaryens killed our grandfather.
Yeah I do wonder, you know, all this lining up with the Battle of the Bastards, and like we've speculated that Sansa could still show up with the Knights of the Vale. It wouldn't be a bad moment by any means, but I don't know how much time there is. I guess Jon has to get resurrected though, so it might take a whole right. book. Yeah, actually it could still all take place. Like you could even have the Baelish thing happen before the Knights of the Vale.
Yeah.
Showing.
Yeah, I mean, the Knights of the Vale could show up and you don't have to have a Sansa chapter. It could just be like it could be a Jon yeah. chapter. It could be his point of view, and then the Knights of the Vale show up, and then Dream for Spring will be Jon, and you could start open with a Sansa chapter. Now she's talking to Jon after this whole thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, you definitely could. That you don't necessarily have to have her as part of mm-hmm. like her chapters and everything. Because things we know the show did that we're not getting is we're not getting this like Ramsay revenge arc that Sansa gets with like the dogs and stuff, which by the way just is a sick scene.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit legally.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Yeah,
I mean, just totally justifiable.
Like, yeah, felt good to watch him die.
Yeah, great. Loved every second of that. But yeah, so it is kind of interesting. But it's just one of the things, because you know this chapter itself, you know, it's just setting up the, you know, is recovering from the Red Wedding, setting up the next chapter, and we could talk about it then. But I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on it now. Do you like more in the show that where he fights Brienne and that's where he gets injured and then Arya goes? Or
of course it's always cool to think about, but I don't think it's necessary. I mean, Brienne, especially in a book right now, she's on her totally different arc.
I didn't like it, that was probably the first scene in Game of Thrones, and that's like season 4 or 5, so it's four. Not season 4. Yeah. That was like I was like the first scene I didn't like. I didn't, not that I thought the show was bad or anything. That was like season 7 where it was like, uh-oh, like we're in trouble.
Yeah, but season 7 I was starting to panic.
Yeah, season 7, the Baelish stuff, I was like, uh-oh.
And I also thought the Faith stuff in 6 was a little rough around the edges. Yeah,
but the Brienne Hound fight, I just didn't like it.
Yeah, it felt very convenient. And also Westeros, I mean, one of the magical things when you read these books is that you kind of realize that, one, obviously Westeros is big, but it's even bigger for a society that doesn't have means of communication like we do. And the fact that some people don't even know what the King Robert Baratheon looks like. I always talk about that moment in Game of Thrones where the peasant thinks Ned Stark is Robert Baratheon because he doesn't know what right. the king looks like. And for two people to randomly cross is fine. It's a book. It's fiction after all. But it makes the world feel smaller to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So personally, I don't think it's necessary.
I just didn't like it. Also, the scene is so weird because Arya's like, hey, I'm fine. I'm like, I'm good. You know, not like, hey, please save me or anything. He's like, I'm good. You know?
Yeah. It's a bit of an awkward scene. I mean, the fight.
And then great, also like, but then nothing happens and she just like takes off.
And so yeah, it's like, it's just
totally unnecessary.
Yeah, it felt like a moment for some battle, put people on different paths, I guess. I mean, again, Sansa's in a totally different location at that point, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's dive into some stuff, more specifics from this chapter. There is a line I really liked in it where she's basically, it's after the dream stuff, and she mentions to the Hound that she has, like, she had this dream about her mother, because, you know, he's like, oh, you know, talking about, like, telling her to shut up, and she's telling him how, you know, he threw water on her and stuff like that. But, you know, you can see their relationship building, and how the Hound, like, asked her about it, and she says, you know, I had a dream she died, and then he never brought her up again. It's like that, it's like such a small little line, but it's like that to me is like the click. Like, that's the click where it feels like the Hound actually, like, respects Arya.
Yeah. And he also, in this entire process, has become more and more human since Blackwater to us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is like the biggest moment for that.
Yeah.
And makes sense. He just, 12-year-old girl just lost everything.
Yeah. It's so, yeah, I want to see if I can find it here. Like that, just that one specific little moment. And then they come across the guy and they give him the gift of mercy. Right. And then they rob him and everything. And this is, you know, part of Arya's training, right? Like, everybody has this like thing they're going on right now where they're like learning the next steps. This is like a bridge chapter for a lot of book for a lot of people, where they're learning, you know, the steps. Sansa is okay. Now she's going to be with Baelish, and he's going to be the teacher to teach her to Game of Thrones. And Arya, it's the Hound teaching her, hey, the world isn't so, you know, isn't like those songs and things that your sister sing. And yeah. Also, this is, you know, this is the death.
Yeah. And interesting that it's a gift of mercy. And then the preview chapter for Arya and the Winds of Winter is called Mercy.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's any parallels, like if there's any connections there. That chapter's probably changed by now, but
yeah, you know, in all honesty, I don't even remember what happened to the Winds of Winter preview chapters.
I remember
the I just don't view them. I don't necessarily view them as canon, because George has said that he's made changes.
Yeah, to me, it is definitely as close to canon as you can get, but it's not been published yet, and he's made a ton of changes, so it's hard to say. I do remember the Euron chapter. I think it's one of the best things. I am right. It is Arya's chapter that's called Mercy, right?
Yeah. So anyway, so here's the lines I want to pull up. When morning came, the Hound did not need to shout at Arya or shake her awake. She had woken before him for a change, and even watered the horses. They broke their fast in silence until Sandor said, "This thing about your mother. It doesn't matter," Arya said in a dull voice. I know she's dead. I saw her in a dream." The Hound looked at her for a long time, then nodded. No more was said of it, and they rode on towards the mountains. And it's this tiny little thing.
Yeah.
But I think it is like the moment. I think like that that's the thing that changes everything for both of them.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder, like, Arya is probably going down a much different path than the Hound would have expected. But if he were to see her again down the road, like they kind of do in the show, you wonder what he'll make of her now that she's a killer.
Yeah.
Which I guess she's already been a killer because she stabbed someone. So
yeah,
she's not so different, I guess.
The Hound might have the best like ending in the show. I feel like he goes out exactly how he wants to go out, killing his brother, whether it's through fire or whatever.
Yeah.
Might be like the best.
Ending. A lot of people hate Clegane Bowl.
Sansa's. Well, we think Clegane Bowl is going to be totally different in the books.
Yeah. By a battle. I don't know.
I think it's going to be the battle of the faith. I think the Hound is going to be the faith's champion. And it's going to be there will be a trial by combat.
See, that's cool. I think that ends up making way more sense, right?
Well, it just feels like where we're at, because he's like at the monastery, the gravedigger, and she's going to choose Robert Strong, which is the Mountain. Cersei's going to choose that as her champion. So I think that's the route they're going to go.
Yeah, I like that.
They did kind of show us, they didn't go to make it Cleganebowl, but they did give us that like Gravedigger stuff a little bit in the show, and like the one episode with Ian McShane in it.
Yep.
And then he kind of turns on the Brotherhood without banners, and because they're going a little more rogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
unless
I think
that ties it, unless that ties into like Lady Stoneheart, but I just don't think so. I think it's gonna set up Cleganebowl.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in who Lady Stoneheart will see before she exits. I don't know if the Hound would be the most interesting person for her to meet up with.
Right.
You know, obviously there's history, but it's not like he didn't directly do anything.
Yeah. Because I also think when you think about like the Mountain or Robert Strong, Cersei doesn't need him like she did in the show.
That's true. Yeah.
She just doesn't need him to stick around like she did in the show. And I think it makes more sense for for George to get rid of him early.
Yeah. And there's nothing from a Dornish standpoint. I don't see any of the Dornish people killing Robert Strong in the story. I mean, possibly. Could.
Right. All right, let me pull up some of the things people have been saying on the old Reddit thread about this, which is from 9 years ago, by the way. 10 years ago. What was that? That was 2025 or 2015. So that's still before season 8.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Makes me sad.
Yeah. So there's a line here. The hole will never feel any better, she told herself when she went to sleep. She's still thinking of this hole, you know, of this hole exactly in her last Dance with Dragons chapter. I have no heart. I only have a hole, which is a nice touch by Gurm. Yeah, he says, I'm hoping there might be a point where she feels this hole is gone or has been filled, but that might be too sappy for George. Another point, you can tell how strongly affected she is by the Red Wedding, to the point to where she wants to sleep all day, even when they're in the village. And she does bring this up, how she's like so tired, or she might say something. Yeah. You know, it's very similar to how Sansa reacted to Ned's death. Remember, she's just They had two now, Stranger and a sorrel palfrey mare Arya had named Craven, because Sandor has said she'd like to run off from the twins the same as them. For the first time during their scenes, Arya starts calling Sandor by his first name. You can really see how the subconscious growing change of her feelings for him are here. It's not as overt as when she thinks of how she could kill him or leave him, but she never tries to. But it still makes her actions in the next chapter far more complex, that she just left him to suffer. And I think, you know, like that line, right? I think that line right there is it, that whole deal where he understands her a little bit more. And I feel like she feels like he understands her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big part of why she doesn't want to kill him, because she doesn't think he should die. I think it's a combination of, she doesn't think he deserves the gift of mercy, because she still has these feelings that he's a terrible person. But at the same time, she also believes he, you know, isn't going to die.
Yeah. And maybe leaving it up to a higher power, which is interesting considering the fact that she's going to the House of Black and White.
Mm-hmm.
So I am definitely curious to see Arya's reaction when she realizes the Hound is alive, if she gets that opportunity in the books.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing you have to think about with Arya and the Hound's relationship is you have to go back to what George was writing, right? And he had already been writing Duncan Egg. And this is sort of the mirror, in a way, of Duncan Egg. But I mean, it's very, very similar when you think about it.
Yeah, Arya had to cut her hair to look like a boy.
Arya has to cut her hair to look like a boy. She's a highborn person hiding.
Yeah. It's funny, I mean, actually.
The Hound is also somewhat highborn, but he feels a little more commonplace.
Yeah, and people argue whether he's a knight, right? Because he doesn't want to be knighted. He hates knights. Right. Like,
but he was in the Kingsguard, so I feel like you're locked in. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so too bad. But yeah, I mean, they're pretty similar. You know, they're pretty similar in that way.
Yeah. To the heart comment, or the hole in the heart comment for Arya, and the commenter saying that they thought it might be a little bit too cheesy for Gurm, or too like sappy. I think that it is not too sappy for Gurm reading his other books. He actually has a lot of these type of moments where someone finds like purpose through love or something else. Like this happens in some of his sci-fi stories. So for me personally, I actually think that it is very likely that Arya will have that hole filled by something.
Yeah. I think that's why the Frey Pie thing is going to be so big.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she'll fall in love though. I think she'll find someone to fall in love with.
Well, I mean, she's not doing the Frey Pie, but you know, in the show, she does. She kills all the Freys. She might be the one to come back and kill all the Freys.
Definitely could. And especially because it does seem that there's going to be some sort of like second red wedding for the other side based on everything that's set up in Feast for Crows. So maybe she shows up at that red wedding.
Right. And yeah, I mean, so it just comes down, it comes down to like, really, where does she go when she, you know, when she comes in? Cause it might be somewhat similar in that she's like, hey, I'm just going to go kill the queen. And then maybe she does run into Hot Pie again. Like that wouldn't be that big of a, cause that's like a piece. She's certainly not going to run into Ed Sheeran, but
hey, you don't know.
We don't know. What if he calls him Ed?
That would be so funny.
Like, just, you know, just really like, there's stuff like that in Wheel of Time, I think, right? Where it's not like Ed Sheeran, but like towards the end, like they included, I forget the guy's name, but he's like a big blogger or podcaster, Matt.
Oh, Dusty Wheel.
Dusty Wheel. Yeah, right. And they turned him into a character or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Venture Crawler Carl, you could pay $1,000 for the Kickstarter and he would kill you in the book by first and last name.
There you go. Okay. So any other takeaways you have? Jimmy, about this?
Just sad. She's 12, bro. It like when you think about everything that's happened to this poor girl over the last 2,000 pages, it's depressing.
Yeah. I'll pull just one other thing I want to pull up here. So you'd be dead if I had, when he's talking about hitting her with the axe. You ought to thank me. You ought to sing me a pretty little song the way your sister did. Did you hit her with an axe too? If I hit you with the flat of the axe, you stupid little right. He previously told this person says, it caught my attention because Sansa got hit with the flat of a Kingsguard sword on separate occasions, but of course Sansa was never the one to do it to her, so mm-hmm. Just another small little parallel. It says, Sandor previously told Sansa that all men enjoy killing, just like you brought that up, like your sons will be doing it too.
Mm-hmm.
But so the question is, what was Sandor thinking when he kills that bowman? Right? He didn't really seem to enjoy it, but he still has no qualms about killing someone. But it addresses something we've seen a few times already, the mercy of death. This is going to be a thing for Arya as she eventually becomes a killer named Mercy. It's neat to compare that to Ned's killing, doing it out of duty or, doing it out of compassion.
Yeah, it's a nuanced topic, and I think the Hound's working through the nuances.
Right.
And he's changing. I mean, you can't run away from a battle like he did and come away the same person. Like, he's obviously made a change.
Yeah. So that's why I still like, the crazy idea that anyone can be Azor Ahai.
Oh, yeah. I the Hound one's pretty fun.
I think it's like, if it's going to be any, just like, it's like fate destined for anyone. I feel like. Because I've also thought the idea of it could be like a Jorah Mormont. I mean, it's not going to be.
Yeah.
But if Jorah Mormont had to kill Daenerys, we think about that. Oh, it's going to be Jon. But if Jorah was had to kill Dany in order to do it.
Gosh. I mean, in real life, when there's creepy guys that follow you around and try to tell you what to do, they actually do end up killing you usually.
Right. Yeah. You got to be careful.
That's
seriously.
Awful.
Seriously.
I think the Hound was the person that D&D had floated out there to kill the Night King at one point. I think I remember that they kind of went through everybody, and I remember someone saying the closest they came was to giving it to the Hound.
I like the idea of it just being some random person.
It's like when Piccolo keeps Cell down in the hole in DBZ, you know? Yeah.
Well, that's Tien, but yes.
Sorry, Tien. Well, yes. Piccolo gives him a run for the money. And first
a little form. bit. Yeah. People are like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, they're like, we have no idea what you're talking about. But yeah, you know, it's like the idea of, oh, it could be Jaime Lannister because he's like the Kingslayer, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like that. It could be, he could be the one to do it, or, you know, anybody else, really. But to me, it's always been the idea of the Hound, just because of like the fire. And if he does have this flaming sword, it could be so cool as a way to do it.
Yeah, it would be cool.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's probably it for this chapter. Like you said, I always say it's a short chapter, but I mean, I judge it based on the audiobook time. If it's like over 40 minutes, and I'm like, oh, this is a good chapter. If it's this one is like 30. So I was like, okay. And then I every time I pull up Kindle, I'm like, well, there's only like 3 pages here. So, you know. What else is there really to say? But I mean, the next chapter is Arya's big, big chapter, right? I mean, that's a pretty massive chapter and one of the best scenes in the show.
We only have 16 chapters left in this book.
Woo, we're getting there. We'll get there.
Like 4 more months, minus the Dunkin' Egg shows. So probably more like 6 more months.
Yeah, sometime. And then we'll start Boiled Leather, which is going to be wild.
It's going to be hype. It's going to be really cool.
But we can always record a few ahead of time if we're just doing the chapters. So
that's true.
That for us makes it seem like we're finishing. So, all right. Well, with that, we want to thank you for playing the Game of Thrones. In our next episode, we will be discussing A Storm of Swords, Chapter 66, Tyrion 9.
Order 66. If you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write a review, leave a comment, or send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com or bendtheknee@podcast.com.
We will see you next time. And remember that winter is coming.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.